rehearsing tonight and thinking about, you know, I basically spent my life in three churches. I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I was there till I was about 16. And I spent 3 or 4 years that I was trying different churches. I ended up getting Spirit-filled, and then I spent 15 years in a Pentecostal church where I met my husband and my children were born. And then we came here, and I've been here for 17 and a half years. So I was thinking about all the time that I've served. And pretty much, I grew up in the Lutheran church. About all we did there was sing in the choir, and I sang in the choir as a kid. And then when I was in the Pentecostal church, I met my husband. He was actually doing youth ministry, so we did youth ministry for 5 years. I was in worship. We started a ladies' ministry, and if you know very much about Pentecostals, they raise their kids on the pew. So we didn't have children's ministry until about 3 or 4 years before I left. I helped start children's ministry and served in the nursery and ran the nursery. And then we came here, and I was involved in children's ministry from the time I walked in the door, involved in worship. I've been obviously involved in women's ministry, and I've served in, spent a few years in youth ministry. And all that time of serving, I've learned a lot, and I've done a lot of growing. And so that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I came up with 10 areas, which for me is a pretty big deal because I'm not a big talker. I admire, I have one of my closest friends is Deb Hagman, and I admire her, how much she can talk. And sometimes, you know, we always relish other people's gifts, and mine is not to talk a lot. But the Lord gave me 10 points, so I thought, okay, this is good. I'll probably go through them really quick. But the first scripture I want to share with you is 1 Timothy 4:12. And I'm going to probably relate most of this to children's ministry because that's where I've spent most of my time, even though I have served in a lot of different areas. And obviously, that's where my focus is right now. But it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching, and do not neglect your gift, which was given you through the prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. You know, we primarily think that children's ministry is about teaching kids, but I would say that it's far more impacting than that, because obviously that's our foundation, you know, that's our purpose, but we've got people who are leading, teaching. We have young helpers that are starting at 10, learning to teach and help, and so children's ministry is impacting the body of Christ. And so my first point for serving is growing is we learn to be patient and kind. And if we don't learn to be patient and kind, we probably don't serve very well or very long. But, so Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And what I notice about that scripture is that it's a command. There aren't any options. It doesn't give us any options. It doesn't give us any exemptions. So that means as Christians, we have an obligation to develop that attribute. Galatians 5:22 to 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. And I always tell my kids, there's no law against these things. So we can always choose to do one of these things and be in the right. So from the day we're born, you know, our kids are born in the church. They come into our nursery. I see Napua sitting there. She's one of our most faithful nursery workers. You know, and those kids are loved on. They experience patience and kindness from day one. But at the same time, if you've served any length of time, you know that sometimes your patience and your kindness can be challenged. And this is a good thing. I see it as a good thing because it gives me an opportunity to grow. So, you know, we have youth helpers. They start when they're 10 years old. Then we have parent helpers. You know, they're not comfortable with teaching or leading maybe yet. But we have group leaders, we have teachers, and we have leaders in children's ministry at all different levels of growth and in a different process. And they all have the choice and the chance to grow. Okay, so one thing that I've learned through the years being in a church and being a part of basically three church families in my life is that no church is perfect, and we all have faults, and we're truly like a family where we have to learn to grow together. So again, our patience and our kindness can sometimes be challenged. So, you know, we start our kids out. I've been teaching primarily preschool 4 to kindergarten most of the time for the last 17 half years that I've been here. And one of the things that we teach the kids are that mean words and actions are not allowed. And I thought, sometimes we parents and adults need to remember that too, right? And then I was thinking today about that poster that says, everything that I needed to know I learned in kindergarten. And I thought, sometimes it's a good reminder for us as parents too. So as we teach our children to be kind to one another, we set that example ourselves. We are kind, we speak well of others, we think well of others, and when we walk into the church, we think kind thoughts towards others. These are all things that we practice and that we learn and that we grow in as we're serving. Brian Houston said, choosing to be kind to people will make you a source of happiness for others and will bring so much happiness to you. And I believe that to be true. The second thing that we learn, obviously, if we're teaching in children's ministry, we learn how to teach other people. And this builds confidence in us, builds confidence in our helpers, because part of my vision and my goal is to train them up to be teachers at a young age. I want to start that they learn to teach one another about Jesus, that they become comfortable with sharing the word. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Again, it's a command. It says, now teach, you teach. Titus 2 says, as for you, Titus, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good and to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the word of God. In the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. So, you know, I would say that teaching is not my gifting. Preaching is not my gifting, but I felt led as a young mom to teach my kids at home. I've obviously taught children's ministry for 17 and a half years. I've taught women's Bible studies. I teach women's Bible studies. You know, I've been a kids' camp leader and a youth summer camp leader, and my whole point is that even if it's not your gifting, you still can and should learn how to teach other people. So for most of us, it is a choice that we make to grow in our spiritual walk. It's an opportunity that we take. So Mark 16:15 says, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach good news to everyone. We know that that is the Great Commission, and that the Great Commission applies to all of us. So I have this suggestion. If you have a hard time finding a way to go into the world, you could start by serving. because 3 times a week we have people walk in the door that are opportunities to minister to, and you have an opportunity right there to start learning how. And it's in a safe environment where people will encourage you, help you, and teach you. So we're expected to share what we've been taught, and we can learn to do it. Colossians 1:28 says, "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ." And that's our ultimate goal. You know, the Lord helps us because obviously we need a lot of grace and mercy to see that come to fruition. But if we will step out and offer what we have to the Lord, he'll use it. So the third one is we learn how to help other people. So Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many." So Jesus was our primary example. Ephesians 4:16 says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." I love that. So we help the other parts to grow. So as we, you know, sometimes we're faced with difficulties in our life, and sometimes I'll even have people, you know, say to me, "Well, I'm going through a really hard time." I just encourage them, because I believe one of the best things you can do for yourself when you're struggling is to help someone else and keep yourself in that place where you're accountable to others, in that place where you're giving to other people. Jesus set the greatest example. He died for us, you know, and the greatest joy comes from serving others. The number fourth thing is we learn how to be faithful. I'll be the first to admit that sometimes, you know, especially when my kids were younger, not so much now, but when my kids were younger, I did not want to get up on Sunday morning and come and teach preschoolers. I was tired. I'd homeschooled all week. I had 3 kids to get up and get to church. And my second daughter and I sang in worship ministry for 10 years. We were here at 7:30 in the morning. The last thing I wanted to do some mornings is get out of bed. And even Pastor Lynn has admitted that some mornings he doesn't want to get out of bed, which makes me feel pretty good. But, you know, I thought about what an impact that has had on every one of us, that he's been faithful. He gets up every Sunday morning, and he comes here and he ministers to us. And it's impactful when you do the same thing. When you come here, you make a commitment to serve somewhere, to do something for someone else, and you keep that commitment. There's an impact. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts." So the fifth thing is we learn to prepare. You know that being prepared makes teaching a whole lot easier, and it also gives us the opportunity for the Lord to speak to us and give us inspiration. Our young helpers, our group leaders, our teachers, they're all learning to prepare and share something with someone else. 2 Timothy 1:9 said, "For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Christ Jesus." So God is a God of preparation. From the beginning, he prepared to save us by sending us his son to die for us. And we can learn to prepare. The definition of prepare is to make someone or something ready for some activity, purpose, or use. To make yourself ready for something that you will be doing, something that you expect to happen. To make or create something that is ready for use. I like that. I like especially making yourself ready. You know, getting up and preparing to come and to do something for someone else. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So teaching others forces us to step up and prepare. To prepare, we have to read the word, we have to pray. You know, we have to ask God for wisdom, and it keeps us growing. Sixth thing is we have to learn that what we have is enough. I think it's maybe one of the biggest things that a lot of people stumble over and struggle with is that they don't feel like they have anything to offer. They know they realize they have growth areas. We all have growth areas. So if we offer what we have, though, the Lord will use it. He says, you know, we all have different strengths and talents. We're all in different places with our walk with God. And we want our children to learn that every person is uniquely gifted and that what they have is enough for God to use them. 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts, so use them well to serve one another. So recently a friend of mine said that when we say, I am not, we are actually insulting our Lord, the great I am who created us. So don't say, I am not. Think about that you are enough. So when I was raising my girls, and my youngest was about 9, and my oldest was about 12, Pastor Mark Bohr was a youth pastor at that time, and they would have prayer after school every Thursday afternoon. And I was bringing my oldest, who was young enough to be in youth, and I would drop her off, and my youngest would say, Mom, I want to go. And I would say, you are too young. And the next week, Mom, I want to go. And I would say, you are too young. And finally, you know, in Luke, I think it's chapter 13 or 18, talks about the woman who kept asking the king for justice. I feel like that was her. She just kept asking. And so I finally went to Pastor Mark, and I said, or I told her, I said, you go ask Pastor Mark. So she asked Pastor Mark. And Pastor Mark, I don't know if you know him very well, but he led a full-fledged Pentecostal hour of prayer. It wasn't casual. And he told her if she could keep up, she could come. And she went. And she never stopped going. And the Lord really taught me then that not only is what you have enough, but not to discount because of age. You know, that you're not too young. And that's one thing in children's ministry that I really want to do is encourage kids that they're not too young to learn, to share things with other kids, and that what they have is enough. I thought about Moses. You know, he made excuses. He was a stutterer, and he said, Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been. I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled. We tend to make excuses even when the Lord has asked us to do things sometimes. Jeremiah said, or the Lord replied to Jeremiah and said, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And again, 1 Timothy 4:12 is, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young, but be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, in your faith, and your purity. So I wouldn't discourage you because you're young in age, and I wouldn't discourage you if you're young in spiritually, because we're all in a growth process, and we all have gifts, and we all have something to bring. The seventh thing is we learn to be comfortable with other people. You know, this is important for us all to learn how to relate to all people. I was not born an outgoing person. I also grew up in a very negative home, endured a lot of criticism. So for me to learn to approach people and start a conversation, that's been a major growth area. Dealt with a lot of insecurity and have had to overcome that. So that means I make myself do some things sometimes that are uncomfortable for me. But I know it's the right thing to do. So Luke 6:37-38 says, don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down, that hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back. Not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. So I think too many times our culture has taught us to avoid people who aren't like us. They don't share our values, they're not our age, you know, whatever. But Christ welcomed all who came to him, and he still does. And I think it's important that we learn to be comfortable with other people. Philippians 2:4 says, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So another thing I do for myself is I try to make sure I grow every year, even though I've been a Christian for a long time. And some of the things that I do is I switch up my personal devotion time. I try reading good books, listening to good sermons, and I serve. And I know that if I do all those things, when I get to the end of the year, I'm going to mark something off, see something that grew or changed in me during the year. And I want that to continue to happen until the day I go to heaven. Because I know there's lots of room. There's still lots of room. But, okay, the eighth thing we learn is we learn how to handle other people's likes, dislikes, shortcomings, failures, and questions. We have to know who we are in God. We have to know that we all have failures. We all have growth areas. If we choose to learn to handle other people's with grace, we will be blessed. If we set this example for our young, and they take that with them to school, college, and into the rest of their lives, our world will be impacted. Ephesians 4:32 again says, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. There's one version that says overlooking other people's faults. In the Message, it says, make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. So it doesn't say, you know, just to those you know or to those you're comfortable with. I think the intention here is that we are to be kind to all and keeping in mind what Christ has done for us. The ninth thing we learn is to be respectful. When my girls were young, they were 7 and 4, and I was pregnant with my son, or he had just been born, I volunteered to clean their Sunday school rooms. At that time, I was at the Pentecostal church, and I think our pastor was doing the janitorial work, and I said, I want to come on Saturday and bring the girls, and we're going to clean their rooms. And I wanted to teach them that somebody has to do it. Somebody has to clean up behind the people who leave the mess. And so after I did that, I've never had to, as my kids grew up, I never had to worry about when I brought them to church, them ever being disrespectful of the house of God, because they learned when they were really young that sometimes people don't treat it well and that somebody else has to come along and clean it up. So 1 Peter 2:17 says, respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the King. And the 10th thing we learn is we learn to be excited about serving others. After all the hard work is over, there is the reward. After a particular crazy day in preschool, I could always look back, even through weariness, and think of one child's life that I had the opportunity to impact that day. So it makes it worth it all, and it makes us excited about the next time. Our young learn their attitudes from us. So let's be excited. Let's be faithful. Galatians 5:22-23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So in children's ministry, we're raising our kids up from 0 to 6th grade. At 10 years old, we strongly encourage them to become helpers and begin serving. We also have parents that are helpers. We have teachers, and we have leaders. And we should all be learning to be kind and patient, to teach others, to help others, to be faithful, to prepare, that what we have is enough to be comfortable with people, to handle other people's differences, to be respectful, and to be excited about serving. It's a learning, stretching process that produces good fruit. So raise your expectations for yourself. Know that you're okay the way you are, that you can start where you are. And if you don't teach them, how are they going to learn? You know, someone has to do it. If we don't learn it ourselves, how can we teach someone else? So the Lord gave me this simple phrase: we learn, we teach, they learn, they teach. That's the goal. You'll never grow if you never serve. You become like the wash rag on the sink that continually soaks up the water. No one wrings it out, it starts to smell. Have you heard Pastor Lynn use that? Pastor Lynn has used that one before. The greatest gift I have been given, excluding my salvation, is the opportunity to serve. It has taught me many things, kept me through many things, and encouraged me many times. If you're looking for answers to your questions in your life, begin serving others, and I believe you'll find them.